Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another programme of Death and Denouement. Once again, within a brief half hour, not only will a crime be committed, but also its perpetrator will be unmasked. And it's just possible, though I like to think unlikely, that the perpetrator's unmasking will be achieved by one of our two guest investigators. They are, as ever, both professional crime writers, and both have been guilty, as I have, of making their crime novels humorous. Ruth Dudley Edwards is also a biographer and expert on the tangled politics of Northern Ireland, and she is joined today by a former chairman of the Crime Writers Association and creator of the amateur sleuth Augustus Maltravers, Robert Richardson. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And once again, I'm delighted to say that the murderer, the victim, and all the suspects will be played by Foul Play's own resident repertory company, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, enough introductions. Time for a crime. Sharpen your wits, hone your concentration, as we hear the opening to this week's mystery, Deadline News.
In the small basement studio of the Daily Flash offices, everything was ready for the afternoon photo shoot of Linda Sue Grace. The newspaper's editor, Malcolm Hunter, had given the go-ahead.
Yeah, great. Glamour shots of the murder victim's widow. I like it. That's what I call creative journalism.
The ageing reporter, Wally Christie, had already written the caption copy.
Stunning Linda Sue Grace is on a trail of hubby Bobby's murderer. And as you see, she's got a couple of very good pointers.
And young crime reporter Kim Francis was also busy investigating Bobby Grace's murder.
This is going to be my big scoop. This story is going to make my name.
In fact, the only problem lay with Pix Pilkington, the photographer taking the shots of Linda Sue Grace. Just when she had removed sufficient clothes to feel comfortable, he suddenly realised he'd got the jobs mixed up and had no film in his camera. At about 3 o'clock, he left to get some, but when Pix Pilkington returned to the studio a mere 12 minutes later, he found his model lying dead. Linda Sue Grace's expose in the Daily Flash was never going to happen. She had been strangled with her own brassiere.
Well, a hideous crime, and I don't think I'm giving away too much if I say that the setting seems to be the world of journalism. Is it a world of journalism that either of you recognise, Ruth or Robert, or didn't you ever deal with the tabloids?
I did. I actually worked on the Daily Mail for 6 years until they found out. Otherwise, I've tended to work for large newspapers.
Right. And Ruth?
Me too, I'm afraid.
Well, yeah, I
write for the unpopular newspapers.
The big ones that you can't fold up in the train. Yeah, I know. Well, I think actually you're a bit early into the investigation to form any proper conclusions at this point. So let's catch up with the official inquiry into the murder of Linda Sue Grace and join a police briefing being given by Detective Sergeant Constable.
Thank you, Mr. Brett. Now, unfortunately, our investigations are being hampered by the absence of Pix Pilkington, who left for Ibiza immediately after discovering the body to photograph some nudes on a beach. He does have an alibi for the time of the murder, however, and is being brought back to this country as soon as possible. In fact, the only members of the Daily Flash staff without corroborated alibis are the paper's editor, Malcolm Hunter, and the two journalists, Wally Christie and Kim Francis. They all deny having gone anywhere near the photographic studio that afternoon. We are obviously considering a link between the death of Mrs. Grace and that of her husband, Bobby Grace. He was a small-time crook and informer whose body was recovered from a pond in Epping Forest. Now, since his hands were tied with gardening wire and his feet attached to an anvil, we in the police immediately suspected foul play. But we have as yet no clue as to who murdered him. The only unexpected object found at the scene of Linda Sue Grace's death was a gentleman's handkerchief, which smelled of whiskey, and was marked with a smudge of lipstick. Our forensic boyos are examining it, and we will let you know as soon as we have any further information. Thank you.
No, thank you, Detective Sergeant Constable. Very helpful. Right, well, now you have a few more facts. Ruth and Robert, do those facts get you any nearer to fingering the perpetrator of this heinous crime?
I don't understand how a chap can have an alibi for 12 minutes.
Really?
In the sense that you can't quite finger, can you, the moment of death if it's only a matter of 12 minutes. And he could have done it before he went out or when he came back, couldn't he?
Yes, I think you're working on the old-fashioned principle that, you know, back in the old golden age of crime fiction, people who wrote these things got their facts right. You know, I think you're being a little old-fashioned there.
Well, that's me, dearie.
Robert?
No suspects at this time, but I am interested in this smudge of lipstick on this handkerchief. Was it the same lipstick as was being worn by the victim?
Well, that I think we'll have to wait to find out. I think it's time we heard from some of the principals involved in the murder, and the first statement we'll hear comes from the editor of the Daily Flash, Malcolm Hunter.
I'd had lunch that day at the House of Lords with a Tory peer to discuss doing one of our 10 things you didn't know about the sex life of features on him. Back to the office around 2:30, and until I heard about Mrs. Grace's death, I was reading a book I'm considering for serialisation. Kiss and Tell Memoirs of an Unnamed Transvestite Cabinet Minister. So we all know which one that is, eh? Yeah, I had met Linda Sue Grace briefly, immediately realised her picture potential. I'm an innovator here at the Daily Flash, breaking down the traditional barriers of journalism. The Daily Flash is way ahead of rags like the Daily Thrill. And now I'm not currently married. I have a free-ranging social life which is none of your business. I certainly did not commit this murder. Wally Christie, a good crime reporter once, they say. Now he's hardly up to photo captions. And the booze. Do you know he sometimes sneaks into my office and helps himself from my private drinks cabinet? There was whiskey all over my desk when I got back from the House of Lords. I'll bet that was Wally again. Excuse me, got to follow up a story breaking about one of the royal corgis being gay.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. If you could just stay for a moment, and may I say what a fine specimen of a pressman you are. Now, guest investigators, with me protecting the witness as his solicitor, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine the Daily Flash's editor. Ruth, perhaps you would like to start.
Is there any indication that the whiskey thief also stole some of your lipstick?
Oh, I beg your pardon, some of my what? Oh, my bonds are black.
I see.
I mean, those pictures of me in the underwear was purely a kind of a gas for the guys, you know. You know how it is, you go out on a stag night, someone's got some suspenders and knickers, you put them on, someone takes a picture, but that's as far as it goes, okay?
Robert, do you have some, I mean, even pertinent questions, you know, about the crime?
Did your companions include either Linda Sue Grace or the young, keen Kim Francis?
Oh, no, neither of them, actually. Kim Francis, you know, she's a nice enough girl, but a bit plain, you know what I mean? Doesn't make a lot of herself, doesn't make the effort. And Linda, well, I had met her, of course, and she was quite a picture, but no, I hadn't visited that particular place, if you know what I mean.
When you came back at, I think you said, about 2:30 from this obviously most illuminating lunch, what condition were you in? Were you sober, merry?
Oh, no, I never drank over lunch. I was completely stone-cold sober.
Do you expect me to believe that?
Nope.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. We will move on now to our second statement, and this was given by the young journalist who has recently joined the Daily Flash, Kim Francis.
Hello. Well, at the time of Linda Sue Grace's murder, I was checking some cuttings about the suspicious death of her husband, Bobby Grace. None can vouch for that, but I'd never tell a lie. I'm a great believer in the integrity of the journalist. My relationship with Malcolm Hunter is entirely professional. I don't deny that when I first started working here, he made some suggestions of a sexual nature to me, but I left him in no doubt that I was not interested. I believe that Linda Sue Grace's death is connected with that of her husband. He, as you know, was an informant who would sell to the highest bidder. Bobby Grace was killed because he had information which someone wanted kept quiet. I can't tell you any more. You'll have to wait for my story in Saturday's Daily Flash. Oh, Wally Christie is a disgrace to the high calling of journalism. Nor did I have any respect for Linda Sue Grace. I mean, women who take their clothes off for the benefit of men let down our whole sex, I feel. Oh, I don't wear lipstick. People who can't accept how I look naturally are not the kind of people who I consider worth knowing. Now, do you mind if I get back to my research now?
I'm sorry, I just have to keep you for a few questions.
Oh, really?
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Guest investigators, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine the crusading Kim Francis. And, Robert, maybe you'd like to start this time.
You say that Mr. Hunter made a pass at you.
Yes. It was when I came for the job. I think, you know, I had done my research about Mr. Hunter, and I know he is something of a ladies' man, and, obviously, I refused his advances, and I still got the job. I think that says something about my degree from Hunstanton University.
Ruth?
I'm deeply moved.
Yes,
I'm very impressed by Miss Francis, her integrity, her refusal to pander to the desires of males. I'm with her on all this. I think she's fine woman.
Sister.
So, sister, I wondered if you perhaps could enlighten us a little about Linda Sue Grace.
I don't want to go into this too deeply. Obviously, as you know, I've got a scoop coming on Saturday. But I would say that possibly she knew a little bit more than maybe people thought. As I say, I do feel he was somehow implicated in her death. Not immediately, because he was already dead, obviously. So, through some of his contacts, he was very well known in the underworld, as you know.
Does your female intuition indicate to you what it is she might have known?
I'm not at liberty. I don't mean to be difficult at all, and I know that I'm only small, and people often think that they can railroad me, but I'm quite steely under this, and I really don't want to go any further.
Good. Well, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
We will move on now to our third statement, which comes from a journalist who's been on the Daily Flash longer than anyone can remember, and on the booze even longer than that. He is former crime reporter Wally Christie. Wally, over to you.
At the time of the murder, I was at my desk, but I was asleep, I'm afraid. I had a rather heavy session the night before, you know. You meet some friends, you get on the scotch. I did go up to Malcolm Hunter's office around lunchtime the day of the murder. There was something I needed to talk to him about. His secretary was out. I knocked on Malcolm's door and looked inside, but he wasn't there either. I'm not going to deny I used Bobby Grace quite a lot in the past as a snitch. You know, when I was a crime reporter, he put some very useful information my way. Since I've been demoted to doing photo captions, obviously I haven't had anything to do with him. No, never. Never met his wife. I heard she was a cracker. Handkerchief. Yeah, I've got a handkerchief. Oh, seem to have mislaid it. Oh, probably mopping something up sometime last night. You know how it is. Kim Francis. Kids straight out of college journalism courses think they can do it all from cuttings and computers. I spent my entire working life drinking in low dives with villains. Yeah, that's how you find out about crime. Can I go now, please? I've got a hell of a thirst on.
No, sorry, you'll have to wait. Guest investigators, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine Wally Christie. Ruth, over to you.
Your snitch friend, Mr. Grace, the late lamented Mr. Grace, was he perhaps confiding in his wife?
Or Bobby? Well, I never met her, obviously, but... he liked to talk. He liked to talk, you know, he liked to talk to me. He liked to talk to her, I'm sure. He liked to talk to everyone. You know, he was a talker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I grasp your drift.
I mean, I can imagine him talking to her, you know, being a talker.
And telling her the lot, telling her what he told you.
Well, you know, he
telling who the contacts were.
Well, you know, talk, that's all he did.
And, and she was a talker?
I don't know, I never met her. She was obviously a listener, because she was with Bobby. See? Talker, listener, so you go again, you see.
And why did you never meet her? I mean, would she not have been, after all, after the murder of Bobby, surely you would have, as an old...
Well, you know, I mean, we never met at his house or anything. Never went to his house or anything. We'd meet, you know, in different places. Sometimes in a pub, sometimes out in Epping Forest, sometimes in the Arndale Centre in Wandsworth. But that was when Adam sought me to do. Apart from that, you know, never met at his house, no.
And after he died, you didn't pursue the story?
We didn't meet him after he died, no, I didn't. I thought, however much of a talker he was, he was alive, once he was dead, you know, that was it, really.
Robert...
Why were you demoted, Mr. Christie? You said you'd been demoted. What particular instance caused this?
Well, I think it's the time when I was arriving at the scene of a crime. I'd been to the pub, I'd had a few drinks, I was driving the Austin Allegro, and I ran into the back of the Mariah. I was breathalyzed and arrested before the murderer was.
Thank you, Mr.
Well,
Christie.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christie. Well, you've heard all three statements. Robert and Ruth, do you think you're any nearer to saying who murdered Linda Sue Grace?
Well, I always work on the principle of elimination.
Very good one.
And obviously one has to get rid of Wally Christie because his handkerchief was found at the scene of the crime.
You think that might be too much of a giveaway?
I think it is too much of a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Francis. Did she have the strength to strangle Linda Sue? I mean, I haven't yet got enough information on Linda Sue's vital statistics, except that they were of interest to gentlemen.
They were substantial, I think. But Kim did say she was steely, didn't she? She said she was steely.
But she also said she was little.
This is true, but you can be little and
little
steely.
Little and steely.
Yes. Robert, where is your finger pointing at the moment?
I am suspicious, I must admit, about Mr. Hunter, although this may be because I'm suspicious of all newspaper editors as a point of principle. I just find it very unlikely that he came back from that lunch sober.
You could be right and you could be wrong. We'll soon be able to be more definite because we're... Ah!
A message for Mr. Brett from Detective Sergeant Constable.
Will you excuse me for a moment? Hello?
Yes, we have some new information.
Oh, goody, goody.
A, we have identified the lipstick on the handkerchief as Purple Savannah, the shade favoured by Linda Sue Grace. B, the handkerchief found at the scene was the property of Wally Christie. And C, we have brought back from Ibiza the photographer Pix Pilkington, who gave us the following statement.
Linda Sue Grace, right, yeah. I chatted to her for a bit, kind of relax her for our session, and she said, I'm the only person who knows how Bobby died, and it's going to cost someone a lot to find out. I wonder if Kim Francis has access to that kind of money. Yeah. Linda Sue did have a man's handkerchief. I didn't ask her to wipe any lipstick off. I like my chicks with big, bulging, bee-stung red lips.
Well, what a charmer. That's rather changed the complexion of the case, I would imagine. Guest investigators, has this new evidence shifted your suspicions at all?
Yes, I must admit, perhaps a slight oversight. I mean, the fact that Pilkington had an alibi and was miles away should have made us realise at the outset he was obviously as guilty as could possibly be.
Yes, I'm afraid he has been cleared. His movements were monitored right through. I'm afraid you have to think of the other three suspects.
Yeah.
So would Malcolm Hunter still be your suspect?
I think on balance I'm still very suspicious of him.
Yes. Ruth?
Well, the problem is that when you say something like that Pix Pilkington has been removed from suspicion, I don't believe you.
Well, I'm very sorry that, you know... I mean, you have to accept that there is a voice of authority in this programme, and it's mine. Thank you. What happens now is that you have the opportunity to call back the three people who gave statements earlier, not Pix Pilkington, I'm afraid, enchanting though he be, because his alibi does hold, in spite of what you say. And each of you can put one further question to each of them. So, Ruth and Robert, who would you like to summon back first?
Oh, Miss Francis, I think.
Miss Francis.
Hello.
How much do you know about the death of Bobby Grace? Do you know why he was killed?
No, I don't know why he was killed, but I have a very strong lead.
Ruth.
Well, sister, there is a whispering campaign against you.
Well, I think I can cope with that.
Mr. Pix Pilkington, spreading vile rumours about you, suggesting you might be involved in the death of Linda Sue Grace. Now, why would he want to do that? And whom would he be helping by doing so?
Absolutely ridiculous thing to say. Linda Sue Grace did offer me information. She wanted me to pay her money first, of course. £50,000 for information about the death of her husband, but I'm afraid I'm already ahead of her.
Thank you very much. Well, so you would now like perhaps to summon one of the other people who gave statements?
I would like to see Wally Christie.
Wally? Wally? Could someone get Wally out of the bar there? Yeah. Wally.
Yeah, what?
Don't you realise they're out to get you? Those jealous of you because of your experience and talent and contacts. Namely, Miss Francis. And, I suspect, your editor. Because they know that you have it in you to deliver the final coup de grace. Because you are the one who actually knows what happened with Bobby Grace.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right, I am.
Well, thank you, Ruth, for that brilliant redefinition of the phrase one question. Robert, do you have a question to put to Wally Christie?
In the unlikely event, Wally, that you can actually remember, when did you notice your handkerchief was missing?
Well, I noticed it was missing when I went for it. You know, I was talking to you, wasn't I, or something?
But it could have disappeared sometime before.
Oh, I could have gone at any time.
Thank you, Wally. Please go and sit down. You look as though you need to.
And would you like to call back the newspaper's editor, Malcolm Hunter?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Hunter, thank you.
Miss Francis has told us that when she was interviewed for the job on your paper, you made advances to her.
That's right, yep.
But you told us earlier that she was plain and you weren't interested.
Yeah, but when she came for the interview, she dolled herself up a little bit, you know what I mean? Made a little bit of an effort, a little bit of makeup, a little bit of a short skirt on there. I thought, well, there you are. She's telling me that she's prepared to go quite a long way to get this job. I decided to see how far she was prepared to go, and she would go all the way, let me tell you.
Well, how far did she go?
All the way.
All the way?
Ah, yes, indeed. Right to the end of the line. We are talking Cock Fosters here, my friend.
Mr. Hunter, you are an adornment of your profession. Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Ruth, do you have a question?
When you say that Miss Frances was very ambitious and prepared to go the whole way, do you think she'd go as far as murder?
I wouldn't like to say, actually, but she's certainly hungry. She wants to get to the top, and she'll do anything to get there. That's my opinion, but just my opinion.
And do you think, having had an intimate relationship with her, albeit briefly, that she has the physical capacity to strangle a lady as well endowed as Linda Sue Grace?
The girl's got quite a grip on her. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that is it, guest investigators. I'm afraid your inquiries are at an end. Now is the moment that you have to commit yourselves. You don't have to agree, but you have to tell me who you believe to have been responsible for the appalling murder of Linda Sue Grace. And remember, it's Linda Sue's murderer we're trying to find out, not her husband's. So, ladies first, Ruth, where would you point the finger?
I'm going for Kim Francis. Yeah, I think naked ambition has done it. And right. Now that extraordinary evidence has come about her grip, what more can one say?
Right. Robert?
Well, obviously not Wally, who didn't know what day it was, for heaven's sake. I think it's Kim Francis, but in cahoots with Mr. Hunter. I think there's much more to this relationship than they have revealed. They have self-evidently lied because they've contradicted each other. I think that Linda Sue Grace had some dirt on Mr. Hunter, and he used Ian cohorts with Miss Francis, saw her off.
Right, so you both go for the same murderer, though Robert goes for a conspiracy theory. Well, are you right or wrong? We're about to find out, because it's time for the Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Now, with the help of Lee and Maria, we will find out what really happened that day in the basement studio of the Daily Flash offices.
Are you comfortable like that, Linda Sue?
I want my most comfortable picks. Clothes are a ball.
Too right. Oh, damn. Out of film. Won't be a tick.
Oh, it's going to be great. This body all over the Daily Flash. Oh, hi. You, have some information. Sure, Kim. I'll tell you who killed Bobby. For a mere 50 grand. I assume you're joking. I know who killed your husband. And the truth hasn't cost me anything. Stuck up, bitch.
You said you wanted to see me. Oh, that looks very nice, Linda Sue.
Yeah, you seem to be enjoying it up in your office half an hour ago.
I always like a quickie after my lunch.
Today's little quickie has been captured on video.
What?
Kind of tape the editor of the Daily Thrill would give quite a lot for. Wally Christie was already in your office when we got up there. I'd arrange for him to leave an handkerchief lying on your desk as a signal he was in the cupboard with the video camera. Yeah, the handkerchief I used to wipe the lipstick off.
This can't be true. It is. Malcolm, here's the tape. How much are you asking?
I want a guaranteed modelling contract.
I wasn't asking you. You're finished. You'll never appear on the pages of the Daily Flash. What's your price, Wally?
A small matter of a job.
Listen, you got to use my pictures. That's why I murdered Bobby. Imagine it, Malcolm. Topless pictures of a murderess. That'd sort out your circulation battle with the Daily Thrill.
A topless murderess in the Daily Flash? That's tacky. I do have some standards, Linda Sue. Now, listen, Wally, let's have a few whiskies and talk about this tape. Why don't I give you Kim Francis's job? She's not even that good in bed, really. And I reckon you...
Malcolm! You two-faced rat! What do you want?
I heard you say that you killed Bobby.
So? I did it to further my career as a model.
Except that's not worked, has it, Linda Sue? Malcolm's not going to run the pictures.
Not all newspapers are so picky. The Daily Thrills editor seems very keen to run a series of topless murderess pics. First one will go out on Saturday.
Saturday? But that's when the Daily Flash is running my scoop about Wally Christie having killed your husband.
Wally Christie? Kiss your scoop goodbye, Kim.
Oh, don't you believe it, Linda Sue. I haven't done all that work for nothing. I will not be gagged.
Oh, yeah?
But you will be.
Oh, no. Listen, Kim, that bra was really expensive.
Don't you bother.
Bear my...
you little bitch. I'm sorry, Linda Sue, but I had to do that to maintain my integrity as a journalist.
So, an everyday story of newspaper ethics there. Well, Ruth and Robert, this is really embarrassing for me, because although I'm the voice of authority, I've been defeated. You both got it right. I mean, Ruth got it 100% right, and Robert, by interpolating Malcolm Hunter, got, give you 75%, I think, which is really annoying. So, many congratulations to you. And that is the end of this week's Foul Play. I'd like, as ever, to thank our splendid cast of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And special thanks, too, to this week's successful guest investigators, Ruth Dudley Edwards and Robert Richardson.
The play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.